Thank you, Pastor James. By way of introduction, I want you to ponder upon the question, what is the purpose of a Christian revival? Well, it's truthfully, its purpose is to bring specifically the Lord's people, believers, back into a deeper spiritual walk with the Lord. You know, every day there is an inner battle that goes on within the believer. The question is, will we follow our will or will we follow the Lord's will? You know, the allurements of the flesh, the world, it's all pulling us in a direction not of the will of God. And this results in a broken fellowship, backsliding, becoming dull of hearing, compromising. It all ends up hindering our walk with the Lord. And I believe many Christians today are straying from their calling to bring honor and glory to God. We have been given a light, which is the truth of God, yet many people don't let that light shine. But as the Lord states, we put it under a basket. We have been given the seed to scatter everywhere, which is the gospel, the good news, the acronym of God offering sinful people eternal life. Yet most Christians choose to hold on to that and store it. So the purpose of the revival is to return to the Lord and reform our ways to bring glory to the name that is above every name, the only name given among men by which we must be saved, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the purpose of this sermon is for us to examine our Christian lives. You may say, well, I'm here, or I go to church. The real question is, does the world see the church in you? Do they see Jesus in you? My text is 1 Corinthians 15:49, and it reads, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." And I want to look at this text more from an application standpoint as an image bearer, compared to its context of believers having a body sown in corruption, but gaining a spiritual body raised in incorruption when we are in the presence of the Lord, when we leave this earth. So by way of application, Christians, we are created to reflect the Lord's image, to be God's image bearer. As regenerate people, a people who believed in the gospel, received it in our hearts, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we can do nothing of ourselves to enter into heaven. Not good works, not good deeds, not religious traditions, not being baptized as a baby. Nothing of ourselves, friends. But we believe that we will one day enter heaven in God's presence because of faith alone, in Christ alone, in His redemptive work alone. For He shed His blood on the cross to pay for our sins. For He was buried, and He rose bodily on the third day, conquering death. Now, if you believe this in the heart, and you receive Jesus as your Lord, your God, your Savior, you will be saved. You know, receiving Jesus as your God and your Savior, that's the easy part. But what about Jesus as Lord over your life? You know, this is where the spiritual battle the believer faces comes in. You know, Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like." So friend, are you reflecting the Lord's image with your life? Who are you like? Now, I shared a poem in a previous sermon that bears repeating. It's written by a man named Jeff O'Hara. And he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? You call me the way and walk me not. You call me the life and live me not. You call me the master and obey me not. You call me the bread and eat me not. You call me the truth and believe me not. You call me the Lord and serve me not. And if I condemn you, blame me not." And James, it says, for if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So Sunday morning, you present yourself as a Christian worshiping the Lord. But what about the rest of the week? Do people outside church know that you are a follower of Christ? Because they should. You know, not long ago, at the start of my shift, I was in the cafeteria praying with my head down. And a co-worker asked me, what am I doing? And I answered, I'm praying. But then I thought to myself, am I not demonstrating enough Christ-likeness for that question to even arise? Am I not proving myself to be a doer of the word in front of others? Because people ought to know who you are. And they ought to know who you represent. If they call you a Jesus freak, embrace it, my friends. Embrace it. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3 read, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. So Christian, in other words, you are a living letter. You are a living epistle. You know, before an unbeliever even takes a look at this book, they're looking at you. They see your manner of living. And they hear your manner of speaking. And they can discern if you are putting on Christ. Because if not, they will let you know if you are being hypocritical. Believe me, it happened to me a few times. Examine yourselves, friends. Whose image are you reflecting? The world or God? For example, when President Biden first took office, he said that he wanted his cabinet to reflect America. And I said, this is great. We won't have a cabinet filled with only old white men. However, when he put a transgender man to oversee in health and human services, that's foolish, my friends. To have a cabinet that looks like America is one thing, but to have a cabinet that acts like America in need of a revival is another thing. The Bible states that we are in the world, but not of it. And the Apostle Paul talks about living not as a carnal Christian, but putting on Christ. I'm going to take you to that passage. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It reads, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death the members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger and wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now, even though we bore the image of the man of dust, we still have this unregenerate flesh that we hold on to. And the battle wages on for all believers, because we now bear the image of the heavenly man, which is Christ through the Spirit given to those who believe by the grace of God. And as you look in the mirror, you understand that there is no such thing as perfection. Even a man with a Mr. Universe body will still find flaws. The mirror, although, is really a representation of God's truth. Christian, there will always be flaws in our walk with God. of course, we'll never attain perfection. But what direction is your life leaning? Towards God or towards the world? It should look like a stock market graph that basically goes up and down, but it's trending upward. We don't want to trend towards the world. 1 John 4:4 reads, "For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." And as time goes by, the image you bear, the Christ-likeness, should become more and more apparent in our lives. Not in a physical sense, like when you are born and you start to resemble your mother or your father, but in the way you conduct yourself in the will of God. It should resemble more holiness It should resemble the holiness of God. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Friend, God is doing the work in you. But Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 reads, "For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, and they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." You know, think about a blacksmith, how he does his job, continuing working with different metals. What the blacksmiths do is they continue heating the metal for the purpose of taking out all the impurities that are in it. And the blacksmith continues to do so until he sees his reflection in the metal. Fellow brothers and sisters, God is doing the same thing in you and I. Working in you and taking out those impurities in our lives so that we can reflect his image. Ephesians 2:10 reads, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Yes, God is doing the work. But friends, we can't be passive here. We can't be passive in our walk with the Lord. We can't be passive in our sanctification process. This is what it means to be obedient to the will of the Lord, to do our part. Becoming ambassadors for Christ and demonstrating new life in Christ, friends. If indeed you heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of the mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Being a closet Christian doesn't gain anything for the Lord's kingdom. James 2, verses 19 and 20 read, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" See, even the demons know who Jesus is, and they don't obey him. So friends, take a good look in the mirror. Do you see Christ or the world? Self-examination is through the Lord's word is key, my friends, because it doesn't lie. It speaks truth. Its first aim is to save you, but its second aim is to help you grow in Christ-likeness, to honor God with your lives, when you're in your walk. So friends, seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things above. Put to death the things that don't honor God, idolatry and fornication, uncleanness. Change the manner of your speaking. Get rid of filthy language, blasphemy, a lying tongue, because we are image bearers of the Lord. Let's pray, friends. Dear Lord, Father God, first and foremost, we thank you, Father, for our common salvation through your Son. We thank you for providing a righteousness that we could never have through the blood of your Son shed on that cross. Father God, as we walk through this life, we ask you, Father, to continue to revive our ways, so that we can be a people of the book. Your followers, a reflection of your way. Father God, we ask you to continue to work in our lives. Give us a deeper desire to hear your word, to delight in your word, to live out your word, essentially be doers of your word, Father. So we thank you, Father God. I pray that your word touches our hearts and resonates in our lives, that we demonstrate a Christ-likeness to this lost and dying world that needs your salvation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.